Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I'm going to wrap up a reflection we had this week on some of the teaching of the Scripture and the Catechism on what are some of the key events that will happen in the return of the Lord. And through that teaching, we try to understand some of the spiritual battle that's going on in our own time, a profound battle between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And one of the reasons it's so helpful, friends, to look at what the Scripture is teaching, take in how the Catechism expresses and understands that teaching, it's to sharpen our sword for spiritual battle. It's to help us be more discerning. It's to have a renewed mind. It's to receive the light that comes from God so that we don't walk in darkness, we don't walk in the twilight, that we can live out wholeheartedly what God's called us to, first to be faithful as an expression of radical love for God, to fulfill by the grace and mercy of the Holy Spirit in us, weak and broken people, being led by the power of God to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we keep that first. That is the central reason you are on the earth. So a friend of mine said his mission statement, his central description of where he finds meaning in life and peace and security, said it's really simple. He said, I'm loved by God. By his grace, I'm a lover of God. Therefore, my life is successful. My life is a success. Without that, friends, you can have literally everything else this world can give. If you don't have that and you die that way, you die a total failure. Because the meaning of life begins there. That's what human beings were made for. And you're a human being. And to love God means to love him the way Jesus manifested that love. Perfectly expressed in that beautiful hymn in Philippians 2. He humbled himself by becoming obedient unto death. Death on a cross. Obedience, Jesus made it very clear, is the love language of heaven. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of my Father. I want the whole world to know that I love the Father. He said, that's why I will obediently go to the cross. And from the cross, everyone will see what motivates me. He's the new Adam that's lifting, renewing, turning the gaze, reordering the heart, healing the heart, the mind of Adam's progeny, making us a new creation, and in the center of it, giving us back the core, the clarity of what really matters. What really matters is not that I accumulate all the toys I can in this world, that I have a capacity and a means to perpetually entertain myself, to do all the fun stuff I want to do day and night, night and day. The fundamental goal and purpose of life is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. It's like the first. It's not the first and most important, but it is the second most important thing. These are the things that Jesus said, this is where the action is. This is where the meaning of life is about. So we've been talking about that clarity that Jesus expressed is meant to be profoundly within each of us, being lived out each day. That protects us from the deception of the Antichrist, a lot of the stuff we talked about this week. And if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website, renewalministries.net. All the stuff's right there on our website. You can also just download the Renewal Ministries app and listen to the programs at your leisure. Paragraph 680, we've been looking at the Catechism, says, Christ the Lord already reigns through the church, but all the things of this world are not yet subjected to him. See, the mind of the church and the mind of the disciple is the mind of God. And what is God's plan? God the Father's plan is that everything would be subject to Jesus Christ. Read 1 Corinthians 15. What is Jesus doing right now? We know for sure Scripture says that he's interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. And that's a good thing, because boy, do we need it. We need his help and his intercession. He's pouring out his Spirit constantly. We talk about that quite a bit on the program as well. The Catechism reminds us that the intercession of Jesus assures the permanent outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But it also says in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus is subduing all the enemies of God. He's bringing into submission every spirit and every person. Every person who doesn't even want to be submitted to him is going to be brought below his feet and under his authority and under his final judgment. Scripture's right. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But the Catechism goes on. It said, the triumph of Christ's kingdom will not come about without one last assault by the powers of evil. That's why Jesus said, be alert, be sober, be clear-headed, put first things first, seek first the kingdom. If we don't, what's going to happen is the assault, which is always coming against the church, it's going to reach a fever pitch, as we've been talking about this week, and the time of the period of the great apostasy and the rise of the Antichrist. And we are living through a great apostasy. So friends, this could be the great apostasy, the beginning of it. So it is really wise for us to sharpen our swords and to get clear about what Jesus said, what the apostles said, what the Catechism teaches. Paragraph 681, on the judgment day at the end of the world, Christ will come in glory to achieve the definitive triumph of good over evil, which, like the wheat and the tares, have grown up together in the course of history. That's why it's kind of hard, because right now, the wheat and the tares, the good and the evil, are living side by side and are intertwined. And guess what? In my heart is weeds and wheat. I want to get the weeds out, but I still have weeds. And that's what makes it easy at times for me to be confused or to be, the devil knows that, hey, he's still got weeds inside. We've got access to him. Let's deceive him. Let's lead him into habit patterns. And even if it's little tiny things, the devil in a strange way is patient in leading us to deception and separation from Christ. Paragraph 682, but when he comes at the end of time to judge the living and the dead, the glorious Christ will reveal the secret disposition of hearts and will render to each man and woman according to their works and according to his acceptance or her acceptance or refusal of grace. We should keep our eyes on this reality, friends. What is the disposition of your heart today? Is it mixed? Is it turned toward God first? Is it surrendered? Is it humble? Is it like Philippians 2, like I was talking about earlier? Or are you compromised? Are you lukewarm? Are you divided? Is your heart fixed on idols? Because the day's coming when the secrets of your heart, what is it that you really love? What got your greatest attention? Where did your energy, your time, your talent, your treasure, your preoccupation, where did it go? Is it self-love? Inordinate self-love? Has your life been about you? Pursuing your pleasure, your goals, your trophies, your plans, and willing to have with you anybody who's willing to follow you in pursuing what you want for your life? It's such an important time for us, friends, to see and to look honestly inside with the knowledge that I will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, whose eyes are flaming fire. Nothing can be hidden from him, nothing. And my true self will be revealed before him like no other time. And then we're going to either receive our reward or we're going to receive the judgment that comes as a consequence of loving self or loving the world or loving pleasure more than God. Really significant time. Just the last paragraph from the Catechism I'd like to read this week, because in that section about the church's ultimate trial that we've looked at, and this is the third of three paragraphs in that section. This is, again, 677. The church will enter the glory of the kingdom only through this final Passover. That final Passover is the great battle that the church will be engaged in against the enemy, the Antichrist, which will be leading, he'll be leading very large portions of the world to try to destroy the church. He won't be able to do that, but there will be many martyrs, and it'll be a very, very intense battle. The church will enter the glory of the kingdom only through this final Passover, when she will follow her Lord in his death and resurrection. Kingdom will be fulfilled then, and not by a historic triumph of the church through a progressive ascendancy, but only by God's victory over the final unleashing of evil. Let me read that again. The kingdom will be fulfilled then, not by a historic triumph of the church through a progressive ascendancy. This is something that the church can get caught up in, and I personally believe large segments of it are caught up in it today. One of the, you know, we heard of the word progressive in our culture. You know, it's a term mostly applied to people on the political left. This idea that human history is constantly progressing, getting better and better and better. It's not true. There's certain things that have improved. There's no doubt about it. But the human heart is not getting better and better and better, nor is the human mind in its capacity to see ultimate truth and live by ultimate truth getting clearer, clearer, and clearer. So the spiritual combat is just as real. Human weakness is just as real. But there's a lie out there that says we, by our own resources, by our own mind, by our own invention, our technology, the accumulation of knowledge, it's all progressing toward something positive, positive, positive. And we're bringing it about by our own resources, unaided by God, which is the kind of worldly way of looking at it. The church is clear. The kingdom of God will not come by our power. The kingdom of God is being brought in the church by the power of God and will be definitively established only when Jesus Christ, the King, comes to definitively establish it. And what the Catechism is telling us here, God's victory over evil will not happen by our resources, by political systems, political structures, philosophies. It's not going to happen. It's only going to happen by the return of Jesus when he comes to destroy the final unleashing of evil and the work of the Antichrist, which the Catechism goes on to say here, which will cause the bride to come down from heaven, the bride of Christ, the church that's triumphant with God now. God's triumph over the revolt of evil will take the form of the last judgment after the final cosmic upheaval of this passing world. This world will pass. It's going to have a gigantic upheaval at the end of human history. There will be a gigantic conflict, coming of the king who's going to destroy evil in the earth. And it will take the form of the final judgment, when those who are with the Lord will be on the right and those will be left to be a great separation. And all rebellion, Jesus, to the Father's plan, Jesus will destroy forever. It will never rise again. He's going to deal with it. And this age is going to pass away. We need to see it. That's why the church needs to be urgent about mission to get people ready to be on the right side. God bless you, friends. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.